views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Freddy Krueger here, a.k.a. Robert Englund.
Greetings from Tromerville. I'm Lloyd Kaufman.
This is Tracy Lords.
This is Buck from the Toasters.
This is James Duval.
Hi, this is John Russo.
And these geeks are under the influence.
And you're listening to Geeks Under the Influence.
And you're listening to Geeks Under the Influence.
And you're listening to Geeks Under the Influence.
Geeks Under the Influence.
You're listening to the Geeks Under the Influence podcast.
Because not only is Geeks Under the Influence hilarious, entertaining, and educational, it's the best podcast in the world.
But first, I gotta kill Michael, the Hobbit Bigot. You should see his feet.
I was hoping that other people would join in.
No, again, and this is going way back. We like to let you just do it.
Hang out to dry.
Just hang out to dry.
Oh, man.
No, we're not only going to run over you, we're going to reverse just a couple times back and forth.
It's been like, it's approaching 8 years of doing this, and I still Leroy Jenkins thinking there's an army behind me, like following.
Yeah,
and they're like, now, you do you.
You think Leroy Jenkins, we know you're Buster Scruggs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My little harp going up to heaven. Yeah. Happy Halloween season, everybody. Jesus Christ.
Spooky season is upon us.
Spooky season is
upon
us. We're recording this on the first day of fall. We are now officially in the fall season. So
Yes, we are.
And happy fortunately, mama. The weather got better. It's been 90 degrees all week here.
Jesus.
And it dropped down to 70 before we started recording. Breeze, leaves are starting to fall. Perfect.
Yes.
Perfection.
I listened to AFI's Fall Children earlier this week, so that's the official start of Halloween season is when you listen to AFI's Halloween EP.
Definitely. How do we have the same traditions? It's eerie.
I mean, we've been friends for like 20 years, so.
That is true.
Yeah.
And that song's just, that whole EP is fucking
awesome.
That
whole EP is fucking rad.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
We are doing our annual 31 Days of Halloween. Yay!
Woo!
Exciting. I love it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows, annual shows that we do for GUI, we get to talk about all the spooky stuff that you should be watching during the Halloween season. Now, it gets trickier and trickier each year that we do this because we are doing alphabetically from the beginning to the end of the month all the movies that you should be watching, and we can't repeat.
Yeah, so, this is too much work, Hobbit.
So now, every year, there's more stuff off the list that we cannot pick for our choices. So.
Challenges
on.
Year four? Is this?
Yeah,
year four.
Yeah.
Of us.
Now
doing
we're still baby staging it technically, like as far as the level of horror movies, the quantity, but it really depends on what letters you get.
Yeah, because there's still there's letters that we're never going to get to all the amazing movies in that letter, like the S's and the T's,
V's. Surprisingly,
the V's,
are very fucking heavy, but you get into. Like the Y's and the Z's and the X's.
X.
It's a great year for X.
Like at some point, there's got to be like there's got to be X has to become like a number at some point or something has to.
Yeah, I wonder
shift
who
with
got
X.
What they chose for this year.
That was easy.
Y'all softballed it. It was like,
right into that. Yeah, that is not even fair.
Spoiler alert.
That is not even fair.
Stick around for X.
Yeah.
Somebody, one person tuned in, be like, I just want to know what they got for X. And they're like, okay, cool, done. They're like
done.
2 minutes into the episode.
I remember one year somebody had X and they had like double X.
Yep, that was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Check it out. It's good.
Yeah, yeah, those the anthology series by female directors.
I had,
that
was great.
It was really good, actually.
In 2020, and of course it was extra because, it's fucking awesome.
And then you had Men with the X-Ray Eyes one year, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Such a good pick.
The deep cut there.
Yeah. So, but there are some challenges and there's some, like, spoil of riches letters during our 31 Days of Halloween. But that's what kind of makes it fun is that you get your ones that are easy and you get the ones that are a real challenge to track down.
There's also some letters that, like, there's plenty of movies out there with it, but all the movies are just garbage.
Well,
yeah.
I've made some choices this year, definitely, that I could have chosen the better movies or the more popular movies for that letter. And I was like, I'm going to do something no one's ever heard of that's easy to find, that's either really bad, but it's fun. Or just weird, and you should check it out. And so I've made some choices just because I'm, I think, sadistic, I think, some of my choices.
Yes.
This year.
Okay.
So
I'm here for
evil.
It.
Remember the very first year we did this, you went like family friendly for most of your picks.
Oh, I was like, yeah, Halloween like, Town.
You had, no, you had like Hocus Pocus.
Like, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm also trying to fuck y'all up this year. Oh. So yeah. I'm excited about my choices.
Well, let's get into it. Thank you so much for checking out another, the fourth year running, 31 Days of Halloween on Geeks on the Influence. Welcome. Yay! Oh, I'm so excited to get into this, and I will not spend a lot of time in introductions because, well, it's the same
crew
for
before.
A few years now, so
yeah.
Let's get it going and get into the letters. First off, the man of many hats, a farmer, beekeeper, spooky music player, photographer, artiste, Will McCobb is here.
Thank you. I'm definitely glad to be back on, you know, in the Halloween season again. They even had me on a couple of episodes not related this year.
That is true.
So yeah. that was fun.
Spooky or dinosaur related.
Yeah. I mean, like that's there. I don't expect you to do too many episodes on beekeeping.
I mean,
there are some bee horror movies.
We'll do a super special episode of Akilah and the Bee, and you're like, that's actually about the spelling bee. I'm like,
wholesome content.
I fucked up. Oh,
my bad.
I got a pocket full of honeybees? I don't know. What?
That's the children's album version of a Rage Against the Machine song. With a pocket full of honeybees.
Still kind of terrifying.
They rally even your beehive.
Even more terrifying.
Right? Nobody wants that.
Right. No.
Next up, we've got horror enthusiast and blogger, podcaster extraordinaire that we get to have on during the spooky season. And I really need to get you on more shows. Katie from Necropolis is here.
Your favorite spooky bitch is back.
Yay!
Yeah, this is my favorite
fucked
up family
reunion.
Song.
Yay! Just add spooky. Yeah.
Spooky bitches
is back.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm telling y'all, I'm bringing the heat this year. I'm choosing movies that are going to fuck everyone up. So I'm ready. Let's go.
Fantastic. Yeah. And the gentleman that fucks shit up with me on a regular basis here on Geeks Under the Influence, my partner in crime, Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's going on, everybody? I'm always stoked to talk horror, obviously.
Well, yeah, you co-host a fucking horror podcast, so...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, two of the four panelists on here have spooky podcasts, so...
Yes.
Ooh, spooky
And have... I haven't been on yours.
We gotta make that happen.
We should.
Yes.
We should.
Yeah.
But you have been a guest on Madness, God.
Love hanging out with
you guys. Four or five times, at least. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We always want you to bring, you know, you bring it, so we always want that fun.
What I love about Katie will mention something that's just like a factoid that she says it in a way like everybody knows, but it's this bizarre fucking factoid that absolutely nobody besides her knows. There's no chance. Like, you know, and then in 63 when he killed his mother, and you're like, what?
Whoa. Hold okay.
On. I don't.
Our nerds are my people. Yeah, what can I say?
Fucking great.
I'm fun at parties.
Yeah. And, the man, the myth, the legend. Oh, what?
That's fine.
I'm being nice. See, this is what I get when I introduce someone being nice.
Yeah.
The fucking emoji that looks like a brown soft serve.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Is that better?
That sounds better. Yeah.
The Hobbit Bicket.
I'm like DJ Marshmallow, but with a poo helmet instead of the marshmallow.
I want to go to that show. Yeah. I want to go to that show.
Great fucking panel for this. I'm super excited to dig into it. Check out GUIPodcast.com for episodes from this show, the other shows on the network. Check out all the cool shit that we're doing, and stay in touch with us with our social media. All those links at GUIPodcast.com. Let's fucking get into it.
Let's do it. All
right. So we are starting a day or two before Halloween. We're starting on the Friday before. So we've got Katie starting us off here on with a numbered movie to start, and this is on the Friday before, or the end of September.
Gird your loins, because I'm coming in with a bang. So I've got not just one, but three spooky shorts for you. We're traveling all the way to Asia, and not just one country, it's three different countries. So
movie I know what this is. Yeah, yes.
Movie I'm starting off with, and I'm actually really excited because I've watched this a few times, but it's been a minute. I haven't seen this in a few years, so I'll be watching this along with the audience too. It's Three Extremes.
Three Extremes is so good.
Yeah, Three Extremes. Mm. It's an anthology horror movie. I didn't know that it was actually a follow-up to another anthology film called just Extremes, I think. And this is, or three, maybe it's three. I'm sorry. I'm jumbling, but, Three Extremes is a follow-up to a previous anthology, but this one has, three different short films. One's from Hong Kong, one's from Korea, and I think the third one's from Japan. But you got, Park Chan-wook, who directed, the first segment and directed Old Boy. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have Takashi Miike, who directed Audition and Ichi the Killer. Yeah, so many good things. He's got a segment in here. And then my favorite one is called Dumplings. And
Dumplings. There's an extended version of that on the extended, double disc.
Yeah. Exactly. And then that actually became a theatrical, like a feature film. So they even took that short film and then made it into a long one.
When did that one come out?
It's like 2004, I think.
I have not seen that. Where is that at?
It is streaming on Tubi.
Ooh, great.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
Free.
And all three are great, but yeah, Dumplings is the winner, which is weird because like Park Chan-wook.
Yeah, it's
can
great.
Do no wrong. And that's
great.
Was that Cut?
Cut.
Cut. And that's good. A great one. But man, Dumplings is the one.
Yeah, Dumplings is the one.
That's a movie I hadn't thought about in a long time because it came out when you and I were working at Blockbuster.
Whereabouts?
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember especially when the whole J-horror kind of thing was a trend that was super, super popular around that time. Like, so yeah, that brings me back a little bit.
I'm pretty sure I have that in my collection. So that's like a nice, happy, like, yeah, guess I'll put this in. Now I have the excuse. Great.
Yeah. And I will definitely be checking that out along with you listeners.
Yeah.
I have not seen that. So
yep.
That's part of the fun of this, folks, is that I feel like everybody that's been on every one of these episodes for the last 3 years has been turned on to something that they're watching along with the listeners.
Right.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and that's 100%. Fucking awesome.
I always leave this episode like really excited to go check out things that you guys talk about.
Well, there's never time that any one of us on the panel doesn't find out about a movie that we need to check out.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we'll just watch, and then we get to enjoy it the same day you guys do. So that's awesome.
So, Lowdown, you're next with your letter. You are rocking the A.
I am. And I went with what I consider to be a deeper cut for horror film, because I really haven't met a lot of people that have seen it, but maybe you listeners have. It's awesome if you have. You can rewatch it with me. It's American Gothic.
Oh, ooh. I have seen American Gothic, but it's also been a minute.
I remember
that. Early 2000s, late 90s?
Ooh,
no, way older.
That's late 80s.
Okay.
It's an 80s slasher.
Got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the cover of the video is the
like the
play
iconic,
on the comic, whatever the fuck his name is picture of the farmer, you know. Except in the house in the back on the top window, there's people getting murdered.
With pitchforks out. Of course.
As one does.
As you do.
Okay.
But it's just such a dark, like, I remember the first time I saw that, I think I was probably like, I was under 10. Or maybe right at 10. And it was just so dark, like for a horror movie. It was just such a bleak horror film. Like, there was just like, it goes into like what happens when you're just isolated, and like when you go into isolation, that's what you stay with as far as your ideology and your mentality and what you raise your kids on, with no influence at all of how the world has moved forward.
Gosh.
And it's just like, and this is back in the 80s.
So I was going to say, that's
that mentality is like,
that's such a
this
turn
is like 50s.
Like a campy slasher.
Horror version of Flowers in the Attic is what you're saying.
It's kind of. Well, so the premise is this woman, so it starts off fucked up. This woman had lost her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what happened to the dude. I don't know if he left after that or what, but her and her friends get together and they try to go on a vacation. When they find this island that they fly to, right? But on this island, there's actually like one family that lives there, and they come across the house. They invite them for dinner, but then like as these people are just going about their day, like, you know, one lights a cigarette, yada yada. They're wearing like, you know, it's the 80s. They're wearing like tighter clothes, no bra, yada yada yada. And they're like, "Oh, you're sinners and evil." And then they find out they have this kid, and then they find out they have like there's two more kids, and there's those weird like sexual like Because
it's heavy.
Who are the kids fucking? Nobody, right?
This sounds like somebody got an Airbnb next to the Duggars. Like,
yeah. It's just like, the like these kids act like they're 10 or 12, but they're in their late 20s. That's like their mental state.
Creepy.
And like the oldest daughter, like, is like, this is my baby doll. But it's like a mummified fucking infant
baby doll.
Baby. Like live, like it's fucking dark, man.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I recommend you check it out. It's a fucking.
I've seen the cover more times than I can count. I've never gotten around to seeing it. It's one of those things that it sticks in your brain, but you just never see it. So, this is a good reason to check it out for sure.
Good pick. Go. Underrated. Really,
I recommend everybody check it out. Yeah, it's really. It's a fucked up horror movie. Yeah.
I've got B. And I picked a more recent movie for the letter B. There's a film that came out recently called Bloody Hell. If you're familiar with it, it's about a gentleman that I think worked at a bank, and there was a bank robbery or something like that. Anyway, he ends up like blowing them away. He's got like rage issue shit, and he ends up like being the hero, but also they're like, or did he like go on a fucking rage tear and just like murder a bunch of fucking people? That he didn't have to murder. And so there's like mixed feelings about it or whatever. He gets asked to go on this trip to like Scandinavia somewhere. And he's like down and out and stuff. This is a couple years later after all this stuff happens. And he gets basically kidnapped by a weird Scandinavian, like Texas Chainsaw Murder family kind of thing.
As one does.
And turns out this dude has like multiple personalities, and it's him like talking to himself, trying to tell him how to escape.
Oh shit.
This thing.
Wow.
And it's so fucking funny. And it's so dark and so depraved, and it's a blast all the way through. It's got a slow burn to start, but at no point do you feel like you're bored. Like it's moving pretty well, even with the slower parts in the beginning.
Nice.
And then it just hits this great crescendo and it's very much worth a watch. The actor that's in it, I don't really know him from much else. He does a fantastic job of playing like the more scared and the more like demented, like quote unquote evil guy that's actually the one saving the day, that's telling him how to get out and stuff. It's a great performance all the way around. A lot of fun.
Nice. Right on. So, is it streaming anywhere? Where can we watch it?
I think if I remember correctly, and let me double check, but I think it was on Shudder the last time that I checked.
Cool.
So I'll double check.
I did not check for American Gothic. The Scream Factory did do their thing with it up to the Blu-rays. They haven't done like a 4K of it.
Oh, very cool.
That movie, they probably won't come out. You know, they're picky with what they put out.
Right. 4K, yeah. Right? Well, then you know it's good. Yeah. Scream Factory always coming out with.
But it's at the Blu-ray level at least. So at least you can go there and you should be able to pick up Amazon through our link or whatever. So.
I am loving these picks already because I am eating up this information of new recommendations for me. I have not seen Bloody Hell.
Bloody Hell is a really fucking good time. I have no doubt that you're going to absolutely
awesome. Love it. Awesome. Awesome.
And yeah, sounds I'm pretty like sure it. it's on Shudder. But
it's on Bloody Hell.
Cool.
It's on Bloody Hell.
All right. I guess we're kicking it over to letter C.
Letter C.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do as deep of a cut on this one, but I am going to start us off with a fucking blast of a movie. One of my favorite franchises. Here we go.
I think I know what this is.
It's going to be Critters from 1986.
Yes, I knew it. I just rewatched 1 and 2 like 3 weeks
they're
ago.
They're so much fun.
They're so much fun.
They're so much fun.
And even though 2 is like so weird because it's an Easter movie,
what?
Technically.
It really is.
It's you don't get
many good Easter horrors.
No, you don't. Yeah. But I mean, it's just like...
Passion of the Christ doesn't cut it, you know?
There's the weird bunny in what, Tales from the Dark Side.
Yep.
But no, it's just who would have thought to put that? I mean, the eggs? Okay. Well, there's eggs. Oh, so Easter. I'm like, that movie's hilarious. Oh, God. Anyway.
Such a good time.
And I can't remember the director's name, but like, also the fact that like, he directed Bill and Ted's, you know, Excellent Adventure, which makes sense. But then, like, Mr. Holland's Opus.
What?
Yes!
Which was an epic fucking film. Yes, yeah,
the director is Critters.
Epic fucking film.
Amazing. Right? Another factoid I did not know.
From the director of it's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures and comes. Critters comes Mr. Holland's Opus. Yes.
If you need some giant-mouthed, chewy monster furballs.
I fucking love Critters.
Not Furbies, but so much. Tribbles from hell, you know, fucking Critters. Let's just
the get worst tumbleweed of all time.
Right.
Yeah.
All their little personalities. Like, remember when the one gets like it just missed and it grazed his fucking head and he's like turns around and looks like bitching. Like, it's like, I fucking love it, dude. I love those movies so much.
Me too.
So, it knows what it is. It's not trying to be anything. No.
Exactly.
It can't
exactly.
be fun ride. And it is. It does
it's
a great
so
job.
Much fun. Like, I was so scared of it, though, when I was a little kid. I was born in 1986. I feel like I watched Critters when I was like 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I was terrified. They had the little teeth, sharp razor edge teeth, and the red eyes.
They had the one big one.
The one big, big that's what one. I'm saying. Yeah. The worst tumbleweave of all time.
Yeah.
So,
such a good film. Yeah. Fuck so, yeah, dude.
I'm glad to take y'all back. I'm glad to take y'all back.
Thank you for that nostalgic
When you said see, I'm like, it just fits, dude.
Wait, that was
it fits.
That was literally Leonardo DiCaprio's like very first movie, right? He was in one of the Critter sequels. I'm telling y'all, I promise.
It must have been 2.
I think I don't remember if it was it 2. To, it was something, been, but Leo is two. In it.
Okay,
yes. So that
I believe you. I just don't know. I'm trying to because I watched 1 and 2. Like I really don't watch 3 and 4 so much.
And that's the movie that he's picking up his young 25-year-old girlfriends with. He's like, I was in Critters, right? Obviously,
totally.
Well, it also solves like, the mystery of like what is eating Gilbert Grape, and it's a critter.
It's Critters.
That's what it is. That's what was eating Gilbert Grape. It's Critters.
Yeah,
it's Critters. It's the Titanic.
You just go in a club, go up to some 20-something girls, like I was in Critters 3. Gosh. Yeah. Like, it's totally how that works.
I would be lured. Come on now. I'm way past the age limit, though.
Also, did double check. Bloody Hell is, in fact, on
nice.
Shudder.
Oh, so, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But Critters, fuck yeah. That's amazing.
Fucking A,
yeah,
man.
Critters.
Yes.
All right, back to Katie. Round 2.
With the D. Hell yeah. I will bring you the D. I love the D. So in the spirit of I wanted to choose films that actually scared me. I think when people are like, I'm so into horror, I love a horror fanatic, a question we always get is like, what does anything actually scare you anymore?
Yes.
And yes, we're humans, right? Like things still scare us. So I've chose a movie called The Dark and the Wicked. And Dark
I've
and the
heard
Wicked.
That's terrifying.
It is so scary. It's directed by Brian Bertino, who directed The Strangers.
Mm,
and I would say it's not the story. It's a possession movie. It's a creepy farmhouse. There's siblings that are taking care of their ill father who's on his deathbed, and there's something sinister, you know, in play. But this, I'm telling you, is just an extraordinary example of atmospheric horror.
Yes.
So the setting is what is scary. It is It is the lighting. It's the mood. It's the set design. It's the use of sound or the lack thereof of sound. And that is so supremely creepy. I just really recommend if you're trying to be like, what's something that actually might creep me out? This is one I would check out. And this is streaming on Shudder.
Is it like the same with the setting as like Robert Eggers?
It's Robert Eggers-esque for sure.
Because like, you know, the Lighthouse and The Witch, just alone, the settings of those places are so fucking terrifying.
I would say absolutely it's in that vein for sure. I don't know.
With the setting. I mean, just with the use of what's around you. It's for free. It's free. Yep. Like if you're actually filming on location outdoors, all that is free.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's free.
And I just think it's a masterclass. You know?
And that's why folk horror is getting more popular.
Because people realize that shit's...
Yeah.
But also, it's some of the most terrifying shit that you'll ever watch.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? It's so simple in premise, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Robert Eggers, too. That just...
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Oh, man.
We could have a whole nother discussion on that one. So.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, check it out. Dark and the Wicked.
Dark and the Wicked. And you said it is streaming?
Yep, it's on Shudder.
On Shudder? Fuck yeah. Woo!
That's get a Shudder subscription.
No, I've been looking at that, and I've heard from several other people that it's terrifying. So, like, I'm definitely checking that out.
I can't even, like, I had to look up what the plot was, because what the lingering feeling was for me was just how creepy the set was.
That's
what
great.
Stayed with me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Nice. All right. I have got, next letter up is E, and it just so happened that I just recently, I literally watched this film like 3 days ago. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's an E, and I fucking love it. And I'm going with Exorcist 3.
Nice.
It doesn't get enough credit.
It
doesn't. Like, it's a movie that I frequently rewatch.
Yeah.
And I mean, bringing back, what's his face? Who played Father D? I call him Father D. Who's calling Father?
Yeah.
D.
You know, Father D,
the one who basically died in the first one as a walking zombie.
Yeah.
But fucking, and I'm building up in level of actors here. We got early Brad Dourif role, who fucking destroys it. He's only in like one section of the film, but he fucking destroys that scene. He fucking, it's so terrifying. He's acting in like the snot, everything. It's amazing.
And if you're not familiar, that's Chucky. That's who voices Chucky.
That is Chucky. Yep. And I mean, obviously, Graveyard Shift and just
horror legend.
Just been such a shit. Even out of horror, Deadwood, fucking great.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am a bad Brad Dourif fan. But then we've got the man who on every scene just dominates it, walking in, swinging dick, mushroom tapping every motherfucker, George C. Scott.
George C. Scott.
He
kills it.
I think it's just I'm older now and I'm appreciating his presence more, but I've always been a fan, even in Firestarter, but like his Christmas Carol, his, obviously, you know,
I
Patton.
I love his Christmas Carol.
Dr. Strangelove. Mm-hmm. I love George C. Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But he has this essence about him. He carries himself. And as I'm rewatching this movie recently, that really hit me harder this time, like how he carried himself through each scene. It's brilliant. Like, I loved watching him on the screen even more than normal. I don't know what it was, but I'm just like, God, fucking legend.
I love that.
Fucking legend, yeah. George C. Scott. Yeah, I mean, I just have gotten to a place where I'm really appreciating more
his excellence. Yeah.
Or just the act. It's like watching Anthony Hopkins. You see it on the screen, right?
I feel like they say that every 5 years your taste buds change to a degree where there's foods that you didn't like before that you're going to like. There's stuff that you liked before that you're not as into.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that same happens with film, is that it doesn't change so dramatically that you don't like the things, you know, the movies that you liked before, but maybe some you don't enjoy as much, some you enjoy more. Actors, it's the same way, where you really start to appreciate the deeper sensibilities that these actors are portraying as you get older. You get, he's doing so much with his eyes. Like he does a little like neck swivel thing that really sells the thing that he's doing. You get those little nuances.
Or that like one thing he does with his voice that another actor might not have done at that particular part in his dialogue.
I was like, ooh, look at that read on that line.
Yeah,
like,
but seriously,
nobody would have chosen that way to read that line.
But you're dead right. There's a scene towards the end of the film when he's pinned up against the wall, and the way he delivers that speech, I'm like, no one would have done that besides George C. Scott.
Yep. Absolutely.
That was his like iconic, like angry, gritty, forceful voice that he had that he would utilize. And that's only George C. Scott. So anyway, there's so many awesome scenes in that film. It is at times when you're watching it, I'm like, it actually goes a little harder as far as for the horror aspect and not just the shock value. The Exorcist had a lot of shock value.
Yep.
Exorcist 3 actually went more into where like, okay, we're going to try to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Not just shock you.
Oh, that scene where it's in the hospital.
Yeah. The shears. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, shears. Or whatever.
Every fucking time, because I can never time it right. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, because the timing is just like a half second off. So you're never prepared for when it's
exactly.
Literally one of the scariest scenes of the 90s in horror.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. I would put it up there.
So I just had to give that some fucking love. I love that film.
I'm glad. I haven't seen it in a long time.
It is streaming on Prime. So I don't know if it's Prime or Shudder.
The problem
is I think
it's on my shelf. I'm pretty sure I have three. I think I have all three Exorcists
I do,
just sitting there.
I just get lazy sometimes.
Since I was probably a teenager.
Same.
Yeah. I own it too, but sometimes I'm just too lazy. So I'm like, that's right there. I'm just click.
Yep. Y'all go to Second and Charles, buy a bunch of Blu-rays and DVDs, and then never watch them because they're all on streaming services.
But the one day they're not.
That's the way.
The one day they're not, and we have the hard copy, we will be the victors.
When the Wi-Fi goes out. Yes. Time to shine.
Oh.
One moment. This 20 minutes. I got this shit covered.
Well, it's the whole time you're watching the film. So you get like an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, give yourself that.
I think it's also something to say that there's not a whole lot of other franchises where you could say the third is arguably, you know, on par
with the original. You're right.
It's so good.
I can think of one and that's it.
Yeah.
So far, Nightmare on Elm Street. That's the only one I can think of that is like on par.
Dream Warriors. Comic. Yeah.
I think that was four, was the Omen one that
Omen 3 was good. With Sam Neill.
Was that the third
that was
one,
three.
Sam Neill?
He was okay. grown up. Yeah, that was solid.
That
got shit reviews, though. I don't get it.
It's worth another look. Yeah.
Or the third Chucky where he's in the military school.
I get so much shit from
F.U. Hunter with that.
I love it.
I love it, too.
I get so much shit from F.U. Hunter about that, like about how I love Child's Play 3. I'm like, dude, he switches out the paint for real bullets and these kids are killing themselves. That is fucked, dude.
So great.
That is royally fucked. He's killing kids, like multiple ones. Like, anyway, And then the whole falling into the fan at the end and getting chopped up. Dude, it gets half his face ripped off. Come on, man. There's so many awesome scenes in that movie.
It really is epic.
Oh,
yeah. I need a Chucky 3 Major Pain crossover movie. I'll be set. I'll be good to go.
Killing is my business, ladies. And business is good.
Want to take your mind off being stuck in that doll? Give me a finger.
I reference that all the fucking time. The Major Pain move, as I call it, where it is like, oh, you're hurting? Well, I can always just break your finger.
Like, give me a finger.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Please bring me back for a Major Pain episode.
Moving on to a true auteur that I believe we haven't done a director episode of, but like, I mean, deserves every bit of it. One of the few directors that is able to capture even a little bit of that Lovecraftian madness. Stuart Gordon
is
the director of the next one for F.
It's F, so yeah.
We're doing From Beyond.
Fuck yeah, we are.
Hell yeah. Yes.
From Beyond is such a underappreciated fucking body horror nightmare of a movie.
Nightmare is the best way to describe it.
Just before we dive into the genius of that body horror / interdimensional creature feature that it turns into, can we just please enjoy Barbara Crampton in all her BDSM Always. Leather glory.
Yes.
Holy
She's
fuck.
Hot.
Ooh. Oh, she's still hot.
Oh, yeah.
She's in her 60s. Yeah. And she's still fucking hot.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
Like, I've seen
and
her in
as shit.
And so she's fucking cool.
But I've seen her at cons. She's fucking rad as fuck. But then, like, you follow her on like any of her social media, and she's just gorgeous.
She's beautiful. And she like, loves horror. Like, she loves the horror community. Yes. Yes. Yeah, she's amazing.
But anyway, I just, that scene is just like, oh,
speaking of F.
Yeah. F is for fat.
But, yeah, it's this, like, Lovecraftian story about, like, find a machine that allows people to, what is it, see other dimensions or see past the veil of the dimension that we're stuck in. And it causes, like, your pituitary gland to like extend out of your body or
the
something.
Third eye thing.
And so it's just like almost like fucking Clive Barker-esque like body horror sensual combination kind of BDSM-y kind of movie, but with a Lovecraftian like overarching
tentacle thing. It's like body melt and just
sexy.
Oh, there's definitely some like. I don't even know how to describe some of the scenes in that movie. It's just generally gross.
Oh, just so gross.
And they get the sound right, too, where it's just like... Just
squelching.
was one of those movies that very early in my watching horror movies, the cover alone sold me on it, where it was just like a VHS in the old movie section. Mm-hmm. And it's this like old man face with like it being stretched on the sides.
Yeah.
And I went, this is a horrifying cover, which means this movie's got to be good. And I watched it and was like, I don't even know what I'm watching, but holy fuck. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I didn't know about Lovecraft at the time. I didn't know about Stuart Gordon or any of that. I was blown away by the movie.
What a fun entry point.
I kind of wish that I had seen that first from Stuart Gordon. My first one was like probably most was Reanimator. Not downplaying that film at all, but I think this was his furthest reach of a film. Like this is the furthest he explored.
He was swinging on this.
In the vein of what his films were, he nailed it. But this is the farthest he went, and then after that, we saw him reeling it back, right? Like what we had Castle Freak, I think, was one of the next films, which was definitely way more subdued back, you know, that monster and dungeon thing. But like this was his. Like I'm gonna shoot for it, and I'm gonna go. I love him for it. I'm so happy I got to meet that man. At the very first, it was the very first Scares the Carry. He was there. Him and his wife.
Cool.
And his wife was sweet as shit. She actually signed my Reanimator poster too.
Nice.
Yeah, she was such a sweetheart. They were just so cute.
Aw.
Yeah.
Also, that movie, awesome. Especially during the climax, utilizes bisexual lighting like very hard. The like purples, blues, and pinks are all about it in that final like. Climax moment, just
ooh, delicious.
Yeah, I love that lighting spectrum because everything looks cool and kind of creepy in it, hands down.
Absolutely
nice,
just like bisexuals. No,
yeah.
I mean, we're about halfway through the first part of our annual two-part 31 Days of Halloween episodes, and before we continue on with the rest, let's talk about our sponsors and some events going on in town. Of course, first up is Amazon.com. We're all buying the spooky stuff for the Halloween season. We're getting stuff for our house. We're getting costume stuff, candy. A lot of that I know I'm picking up on Amazon. It's convenient and you have a lot of choices to choose from. And if you shop through the link at GUIpodcast.com, you can also help out your favorite show. No, not Marc Maron, this one. And you can help us out by just buying the stuff you were going to buy anyway. Some of that goes to us instead of Amazon, so you're also kind of giving them a finger a little bit and allowing us to buy all the spooky goodness that we want for the holiday season to decorate the studio with. So all you got to do is go to GUIpodcast.com, upper right-hand corner of the main page, click on the Shop Amazon link. That will send you to the Amazon where you can purchase like normal, and we will just get some of the credit for whatever you purchase. Another way to help us out, and the preferred method really, is to buy some merch. TeePublic. Go to gypodcast.com/store. That'll send you to our TeePublic page where you can get shirts, coffee mugs, button stickers, baby onesies, all sorts of stuff with over 50 designs from the Geeks Under the Influence Network. So we've got all of our Halloween season seasonal designs back out and on the store again, as well as some new designs, including some new spooky designs coming out soon, and Renaissance Man, Renaissance Woman, and Renaissance Person designs to celebrate the return of Brendan Fraser into the zeitgeist. All of that's available and on sale pretty often, so if you don't see it on sale right now, wait a week, check again. Keep check of the store. We have new designs coming out all the time, and it's a great way to celebrate the spooky season with some spooky designs from Geeks Under the Influence. October 31st doesn't have to be the end of all the spooky stuff. November 12th at Fallout RVA is the return after 4 years of Synthetic Nightmare. Our buddy Will on this episode and next episode. His band, they haven't played in 4 years, and they're coming back to play with Barry White Hansen. If you're unfamiliar, check out Barry White Hansen on YouTube. It will be a funny, weird, creepy good time. More information at falloutrva.com, and we'll be posting links on our social media as well. Now back to the episode.
Sup?
Will. What do you got for G?
All right. So I had to think about this one a little bit. And this is a movie that got brought up recently, actually, at Scares That Care. And I ended up buying a copy of it because my wife has been doing a lot of artwork with like eyeballs and like eyeballs in artwork and like growing out of things and like weird skin textures. And
I've been
like
seeing
that.
The shit. It's and very cool.
Yeah. Hellkit and RVA. Check it out. There's a bunch of eyeball stuff.
Fuck yeah. Pause.
Go check it out. Like, this isn't like bias. This is some of the coolest shit that's coming. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
But because of that, letter G is going to be a bizarre demonic ride called The Gate.
Oh, yes! The original fucking... Yes, absolutely.
Oh!
Where this fucking kids open a gate to demons in their backyard and under their bed, and these little monsters are running around and eyeballs growing out of people's hands.
Oh, it's so much fun.
It's like you get to the point where you don't know. The little ones are so cool and like creepily cute, but then the giant one that just grows up through the fucking living room at the end, you're like, man, that movie was rad.
Was it The Gate 1 or 2 that the body falls and turns into a bunch of...
It was in The Gate 1.
It's a good scene. It's a great effect for the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that movie, again, I feel like I see it in across like the horror...
But
socials,
not as much as it should
but
be.
But I feel like it still is kind of a sleeper.
And it's also such an underrated when people are like, how can I introduce my kids into the horror genre? And people go, Monster Squad or like other things. And I'm like, no, The Gate. Like,
Both.
I mean, obviously all of them, but like also add The Gate into
that. No, you should definitely add The Gate. I agree 100%. Because that was only PG-13, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the first one?
I believe so. Yeah.
And it's just a campy, fun creature feature kind of ride.
Yeah.
Young Stephen Dorff.
Yes.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Oh my gosh.
So, shows you the dangers of metal.
Hey folks, Blade just wasn't his first horror movie, just so you know. Right? So you know. There you go. Before the horrible CGI of him being pulled back together, we had claymation in The Gate.
Before he was looking for a blood god, he was looking for the stop motion claymation god, I guess.
To help save him from
I had to bring that one and just
fuck yeah, man.
And that scene of the eyeball opening in the center.
Oh, it's
of the
so
hand.
Gnarly. Yeah.
It's like it's one of those that's like, how did you still get this as PG-13? The 80s was rad.
Yeah. Dude, it really was.
That's a gem of a movie.
It really
like,
is.
You can, yeah.
And there's two
you haven't
sequels?
Seen that go. Yeah, just, I think so.
There's two and a three, right?
I never saw three.
Me neither.
I've seen two.
Two was equally as campy. Some of the, not nostalgia, but some of the magic was kind of gone into from it. But it was still good. I think, like, you know what reminded me of The Gate when I actually watched it the first time? Obviously, it was The Gate on steroids as far as the fun factor, but Psycho Gorman.
Oh, no, yeah, I agree. You know, I totally agree with that. Yeah. I had not made that connection.
It gave me that feeling of just that. It was just so
hyper fun, aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The color palette, had a very, very vivid color palette on that. I don't know. It just reminded me of that when I watched it last year. I was
cool. Fuck yeah.
Love that.
Cool. All right. So, Katie, you got H.
Yeah. So,
plenty of good choices.
Oh, my God. There are so many good choices for H.
Yes. There is.
So, it was hard to narrow it down, but I kind of am going with what I was talking about with Dark and the Wicked back in D. It's a movie that genuinely creeped me out. And I am a little bit of a found footage enthusiast. You might call me a found footage file. So I'm going with Hell House LLC.
When you said found footage, I knew it. Yes. I knew it.
Yeah. And dare I say, if you want a H double feature, you could do Hell House LLC and the houses that October built, because they have similar premises. Hell House is the one, if you're going to choose one.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a group of friends who are looking for a great location to set up a haunted house attraction, like a Halloween haunted house. And they find this haunted, like actually haunted place.
House,
it's like actually like a portal to hell. And there's horrible sequels. Please skip the sequels, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, there was three. There's two and three, right?
Yeah, there's three sequels of them.
Yeah.
But the first Hell House is genuinely creepy.
Yes.
And I'm looking at Hobbit because I think you have a little bit of a phobia of some clowns.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's some,
creepy fucking ass
like,
clowns.
I don't have a phobia of clowns, but these freaked me out.
Yeah. Oh, no. They're like the props that they're trying to set up within the haunted house that become alive. And
that's the hardest part of going to like King's Dominion for their haunt thing is that
they have the whole clown section.
Most of it's fine. And then when you even like graze the corner of the clown section, there's like creepy clowns doing creepy juggling shit like on the main thoroughfare. And for some reason, they always know. Like
you're
it's
scared.
Like cats know when
it's
there's
on your
a person
face.
That doesn't like cats.
It's on your face.
That's clowns. Is that like clowns know? Oh, this motherfucker, and just come after me.
It happened at one of the Man Monsters we went to. There was this right after like American Horror Story season 4 had come out.
Freak Show.
Yeah. So it was the March after that. So it was the back end of that season was still on, and there was a twisty. It was like either it was one of the two nights
like
we were shit hammered. And like, I we were chewing. And he was like, "Oh fuck!" He was like, "Oh, he pointed him out to me, so it's his fault." And he was like, "Oh fuck, da da da, no fuck that, we're not going over there." And then he turned around and talked to somebody else, and I just called the guy over here. And so when he turned around, Twisty was right there. I was like, "Oh no, I got a picture of him," and he's just like, just looks so
I wish you all could see the face that he's trying to make.
Not a great time for me. Not my favorite.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I know you did.
So, Hobbit, proceed with caution on Hell House LLC. Okay. But low budget, and sometimes the simplest scares are the scariest, you know?
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. Hell House LLC is awesome. Yeah. Sequels. I didn't see 3, I saw 2, and it was not.
Oh, they're horrible. They're so bad.
Wasn't
like
good.
Legit. I love awful horror movies, and I'm saying skip them
because they're just not even the fun.
They're just bad. But
I recently saw a film like that.
Amazing.
Last night, and we'll get into that during the break. That's on Shudder, right?
Yes.
They're still on Shudder.
It's on a few things. Okay. I think Shudder, Tubi, Amazon, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
The beauty of horror.
It's all over.
It's everywhere now.
It's everywhere.
Now, imagine if we. I don't know. Would we love horror as much now if it wasn't such limited when we were getting into it
I think it would be harder to find like our vein of horror that we specifically like because of its access. We'd have more access to a lot of it. So like I really like body horror stuff, and like if you can especially do like psychological body horror stuff, so like Cronenberg.
So, I was gonna say Cronenberg is like right up your yes.
I think I actually end up watching more garbage horror now because
you gotta be more
so
selective.
Accessible.
Yeah,
that I'm like there's movies I've gotten and I'm like, I am turning this fucking piece of trash off. I am done. What is this awful shit?
What I do, I'll be like, I have 4 hours so I can watch 2 like full feature length films, and then I have 42 different apps, so I spend an hour and a half
just
looking
something,
for stuff,
choosing something.
And by the time I choose the thing, I was like, I gotta do like an 80 minute horror movie because that's all the time that I have left. And I just go to Shudder and be like, yep, cool,
that'll work.
And then you end up watching fucking whatever the one with the llama was.
Llamageddon.
Okay. Something just like, what the fuck?
Watch Llamageddon.
Yes, please. Please watch.
That's a side note for this one.
Yeah. Lowdown.
Oh, I am back with the letter I, and I had to go with one. It's an oldie, but it's a stellar one, and I'm surprised when I look back that it hadn't been picked yet, and that's Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking absolutely love. Now, and I will say this, so that way, I mean, it might ruin it in the future for somebody else's eye, but I would say both 1956's OG and the 78 remake. No, yeah. They're both great
they're
films
both great.
For different reasons.
Different reasons, yeah. I mean, they're like, they're coming, they're already here.
Which one is
horrifying.
Do you want us to watch this year?
This year, I'm more partial to the 78.
Okay.
But I own both, and I will rewatch the 56 as well. Like, I think I am one that puts myself into the time the film was made.
Yes.
It is very horrific for the time. It's like War of the World shit or some, you know, Orson Welles shit.
I was
going
to say that. It's all about like the paranoia that we're like experiencing
it's humans
as a society.
Response to it, and that's the horror.
Absolutely.
And it's very Twilight Zone esque.
78 one that did the, it's a meme now, the
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum was in it too, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
They tried to do another Invasion of the Body
Snatchers
movie in the mid-2000s.
They did. I think it's called The Invasion, right?
The Invasion with Naomi Watts and I think
Garbage.
Law or something.
It was garbage.
Not great. Yeah.
Oh, God. It was terrible. I was trying not. That's why I just put the two.
The effects are really fun, too, I think, in the 78. Both the 50. Yeah, 56 or the 50s movie. And
the 50s one, they're doing the thing where they like fade between frames.
Yeah,
thing.
It's adorable.
It's adorable. Yeah, it's great.
It's the same thing I gave people when we did the Madness, when we did the Killer Phil for the Blob. I enjoyed both for different reasons what they did with the film, right?
Yeah.
So the 78 definitely focuses more on the alien whole taking over thing.
While
still incorporating that paranoia from the humans, right? Because it's almost like pre the thing where it's like we don't know who to trust aspect, which is still bringing in that paranoia, but just incorporate. They just did it like paranoia. They just did
the
like
modern version of that was 2016 when you found out that that your uncle's friends were all racist. You're like, oh no!
Oh
you're
shit!
Here the whole time.
Fuck. Oh.
Fuck.
God damn it.
So it's just it's really felt like I'm a big fan of remakes that actually make you feel like you're watching a different film.
Yeah.
And this was like the original plus.
I love that description. You know? Absolutely. And also, like, the whole pod people thing is such a...
Yeah.
That people, like, that was a legacy. Like, people
still use that. Oh, pod people.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And that came from that. So,
exactly.
That's cool.
So, fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. Nice. Yeah. Solid. I'm definitely going to have to... I've seen the 50s one recently in the past, like, year or so. So, I think I'm going to do the 70s one.
Fuck yeah.
Because it's been a while for that. But I got Jay, which Jay is tough. There's not a ton of Jays out there.
Low
but surprisingly,
tough.
This one has not been brought up, and I double checked because I was actually surprised. Jacob's Ladder.
Ooh,
yeah. Oh, that
Tim
movie's,
Robbins.
Oh,
right?
God.
Tim Robbins. Yeah.
Oh, and that movie's harsh.
It's harsh.
Oh.
And it's a movie that talks about the what are the experiments of the Vietnam vets?
Oh, it was
MK Ultra or whatever.
And
acid tests and stuff.
And then the gas.
Agent Orange. Where I love a movie where you don't know if the protagonist is crazy or they are actually seeing what they're seeing.
Right.
And this movie does a really good job of keeping you really in the middle for the majority of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're wondering if there's multiple dimension things happening, if there's like his visions are real or not, like that if
it's
he's seen past
movie.
The veil, there's so much happening.
Yeah.
And at points, it gets close to losing you, but it always kind of keeps you just on the edge of being lost of what's happening, but never to a point where you're fully, like, away from the movie. Very great performances. Really creepy moments that border on body horror is, like, the dancing scene with his girlfriend is, like, dancing.
Yeah.
And there's strobe lights, and then there's just this monster, like, tail spike thing that just goes through her, and... He starts freaking out, and then he has 106 degree temperature, and has to get an ice bath, and it's It's a really upsetting movie. And then the weird, like, blurry faced heads in the car that are chasing him, and his buddy that's like always angelically lit, then you find out later why. And like, there's so many great little nods to what the actual story of it is throughout, that don't give away the whole,
the whole story.
Yeah. It's a beautiful film. It's scary. It's frustrating.
I describe that film as upsetting.
It's very upsetting.
It's disturbing.
But it also doesn't shy away from overtly talking about the challenges that vets had when they came back.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I love when movies have that layer of horror, like things that are, like you were saying, that we don't think are real or not necessarily real. That's really scary. But actually, the reality is equally, if not even more scary,
We did this to our own people.
I love that. That's really well done. And it's hard to do.
And
hard to pull off.
A perfect example of what the best parts of sci-fi and horror for me are those stories that I think most tend to have some underlying social commentary.
Yeah.
But when you have something that's so incredibly well nuanced in its approach to that conversation, and has like a visceral way of telling that story without it detracting from the fun of the experience
or hitting over the head.
It's really well done.
It was done very well. So Jacob
Wasn't that up for Oscar? Didn't that win?
No, I don't remember.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't remember. Because that was, what was that, like late 80s?
Late 80s, I want to say. Or late 80s, early 90s. Okay. Yeah.
Because Shawshank was like, what, 94? And it was like way before that in his career. So I want to say it's at least about 88, 89. Yeah.
He looks a little young faced in it for sure.
Yeah, baby.
A little baby.
So we got Jacob's Ladder going on to, I had to check letters because I'm a few beers in now. K is next.
I forgot my alphabet.
K is an interesting one. We've covered some really good movies that started with K. And I'm going to throw us back a little bit to a movie from 1966.
Oh, cool.
Called Kill Baby Kill.
Okay. Yes, that's Mario Bava, right?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yes. You know, Mario Bava, who was on The Evil Eye, Black Sabbath.
The father of Lamberto Bava.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit.
Lamberto Bava worked with Argento on Demons.
I didn't even think about that when I was picking this one. Jesus.
No, but he's an amazing director in his own.
Yeah,
like, he was like the proto giallo type of stuff, right? Like,
proto giallo for sure, yeah.
But he just did so many great horror films, and
when I had the like borderline exploitation, Italian exploitation kind of thing going,
he was crossing a lot of boundaries. Like, he's a phenomenal director.
I kind of picked this one because of the director, but also just Kill Baby Kill, like, you've got the whole town kind of protecting this weird thing that's going on, and this little creepy ghost kid, or is it a ghost, what the fuck, creeping through the window, and the old witch basically that's like helping protect her, and just in general for the time, there are some really fucking creepy scenes in this movie.
Yes,
I love that.
So if you haven't ever seen Kill Baby Kill before, it's a fun ride.
It's definitely worth Do you own that, or was it streaming somewhere?
I do own it. I looked it up, and I believe it might have been streaming. It's not. I don't think it's free, but I think you can like rent it on
Prime somewhere. For, like, and fucking awesome. Rent it.
Yeah, say, rent
through our link.
Rent
it through our link.
Haven't dove into Bava a whole lot, Mario Bava a whole lot. It's a fun time. I mean, there's some really solid Mario Bava movies out there that ride that line. It's pre giallo, like Italian thriller, some action-y kind of exploitation kind of vibes to some of his stuff.
He also got like not credited for a lot of things that he was doing when I was looking it up at first. Like, in the credits, they if you go through his IMDb, it's like uncredited.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? There's a ton of stuff you weren't credited for, dude. So yeah, no. That's my pick.
I mean, Italy in the 60s, 70s, like there's probably some like state shit happening where
he was intentionally.
Or I mean, there's a lot of countries where the state runs like the film companies and stuff. So there might be like, you can do this, but you can't get credit for it.
Right.
Kind of,
you know, thing. That's a good call out, actually.
Yeah. So I don't know that for sure. Like, I'm just making a guess here, but
that's probably a pretty solid assumption. If we dug deep into his history and stuff.
Yeah. But, that's fucking. That's like the deepest cut we've had, I think we've had so far.
Yeah, so that's
a Mario Bava film.
Mario
Bava
flick, that's for sure.
That's awesome.
I'm here to bring it. I'm here to bring it.
We're educating the kids.
I appreciate the shit out of that. Like, holy fuck. It's funny, we just released the Argento episode of Madness, and Murph and I were talking about, like, kind of like, I do want to do a Lamberto Bava, because, mm-hmm. I mean, even though there's some stuff there, but his film career wasn't as vast as, like, Fulci and Argento.
Right.
But his father...
There was a fuck ton of lot films. More movies listed.
You did Black Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Black Sunday. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot more movies than I even remembered when I was digging through this one. I was like, holy
shit. I think a real lesson here is, like, go back pre-1970 for your horror.
You find solid fucking
knowledge.
Films. Solid fucking films.
Yeah. Dig into that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. For sure.
All right. So we're now down to L with Katie.
So I actually just watched this yesterday, and it's a recent movie. It's from 2014. It's kind of a bonkers, like, descent into madness film. It's called Last Shift. Has anyone seen?
Oh, that fucking movie's awesome.
Yeah.
Last Shift at the police station.
Yes.
That movie's, I fucking love that film.
It was a first time watch for me, and I liked it so much that I put it on the list.
That movie's got a couple really fucked scenes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So as Lowdown was saying, it's set in a police station, and it's the last shift of this station before they move on to a different location. And it's about this rookie cop, woman who's doing the last shift, and the whole thing, like, it kind of starts a little creepy, and then it just descends into fucking madness.
Yes.
I mean, this movie is bonkers.
So good.
And it is, again, it's like one of those examples where the simplest scares, the simplest special effects are so effective. And you're like, how did this get me? How did this, like...
And, like, I read about, like, the budget for that film was, like...
Nothing. Nothing at all.
All the money literally went to, like, the practical makeup effects that they utilized for that film.
Exactly.
And it looks so fucking good.
Exactly. So it's totally bonkers. I don't even want to describe what happens because the way it descends, like, you just have to watch it. But but I will say, if you're into, like, culty vibes, if you're into supernatural, into just weird, like, surreal horror, then definitely check this one out.
Who are you sitting on a podcast with?
If you are anyone in this room or listening to this,
I don't know.
If you're
like,
friends with anybody in this room,
I bought a digital copy of it because I didn't.
Nice.
I've never seen, like, an actual physical copy anywhere.
Yeah.
So I bought, like, the digital copy off of Vudu. It's in my library.
Cool.
Okay.
But I think I recently saw it streaming somewhere.
Tubi is where I watched it.
Okay.
Great.
I thought I saw it somewhere for free.
Why is there a whole theme emerging? This is all, like, underrated gems. I feel like
educating the youth. We said that. Educating the youth.
Tubi mentioned a couple times, and Tubi has really come up hard with some of their, like, deep cut horror stuff.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Available. They've done a really good job of curating
totally
some of their
free
stuff.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Check out Last Shift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting to hear that. As far as I know, I'm the only person to watch that film until now. I know two
cheers,
people.
Now there's
buddy.
Two.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Now there's two. There's
going to be a lot more now.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right. So for M, I got to bring in my boy. I feel like I looked back in the past and I had something either always John Carpenter or something Stephen King. So I had to bring in with this something Stephen King. And I'm going with Frank Darabont's adaptation of The Mist.
Yeah,
this is great.
That fucking movie is...
I haven't recovered yet.
I know, right? Like,
too soon.
That movie went so fucking hard, dude.
God.
God. But, and the worst is, it was, like, unnecessary.
Oh,
it was completely
man.
Not the choice, just, like, in the film you're watching and you're like, why? Why did you just do that?
And also, like, this movie came out in, like, 2013 or 2014. Mm-hmm. So, like, the whole conversation about, like, religious zealotry
was, God.
Like, you don't even know what you're
going
you
like, no, to do.
This shit slaps a little different in 2022.
Yeah.
I think I was still living in the one bedroom I had. This was before, like, this was, like, 08, 09.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, so.
I think, yeah.
It was a little ahead of its time on talking about, like, how quickly you can turn a herd when they're scared or threatened.
Or even like how a group still craves like those niches.
Aspiation?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we were talking about before. There's multiple layers of horror. There's the madness is happening outside in the mist, but then there's the human element of all these fucking crazy people
which
in this
also
market, which is also madness. And more terrifying somehow.
Well, that's why Stephen King and George Romero were so close, is because they had a common theme of like, sometimes the monsters are us.
And yes. Most of the time.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
No one doubts that now.
But literally one of my most hated horror characters of all time was Mrs. Carmody.
And she does such a good job of playing that character.
Yeah.
I like to like say that it is a, like a sequel to Donnie Darko when she's severely doubting your commitment to Sparkle Motion.
Yeah.
And then she moves to like a harbor town and murders the non-believers.
And then we had a pre-Walking Dead what the fuck was
what's his name? I know who you're talking about.
What was her name? She got beat in the first season, and then Daryl and her friends, Carol. We had a pre-Walking Dead Carol.
Oh, yeah, Carol. Oh, can someone walk away?
She's the one that left. And then that's who he sees at the end, right?
When the thing.
Yeah, it's not ruined for anybody.
Oh, my God.
Ugh. I don't want to say too much because I'm sure there's people that haven't seen it, which still, it's painful to me.
And then Toby, I forget his last name. He's the bagger guy. He's a great actor. He's
another Darabont movies.
He played in the lesser known Truman Capote movie. I think it was just called In Cold Blood. That he played. It came around the same time as Capote came out with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Which I've seen that one, so I don't know about the other one.
I forget Toby's last name, but like he did an amazing job. It just got overshadowed by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's a great character actor.
Yeah, he's great. He's fantastic. Yeah.
No, but that film, like, and again, it's being King Reader. It's a short story out of the Skeleton Crew. I mean, I've read those short stories multiple times. Yeah. Like Darabont has done the most justice to any King property.
I agree.
I absolutely agree.
Between that, The Green Mile obviously Shawshank.
I mean,
so good. So fucking good. Yeah.
Well, and you have a movie that has some like vague notes of Lovecraft kind of like sprinkled in.
Vague?
Well.
Yep. Vague?
Well, I mean, there's no direct parallel to a Lovecraft story in it, but there's...
No,
I mean,
that's true.
But it's maybe like
anything altered dimension with monsters. Yeah, I just my brain immediately goes Lovecraft. That's,
did anyone watch the TV show? I did not.
Watched. I didn't watch it in any kind of order. I would randomly watch an episode here or there, and I just don't think people were ready for it. I think that it was good enough where it shouldn't have gotten canceled, from what I saw.
Gotcha.
And it wasn't moved anywhere where I could watch it from the beginning forward. It was sci-fi, and then they got put somewhere else, I think, for the final season.
Okay.
I believe.
I think you're right.
And I just, but it was never where I could actually go back to episode one and watch it from the beginning to really get a feel for how they were telling the story. Because I feel like that makes sense as a, you know, because in the book, it takes time over, it's over a period.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And you could definitely do, you know, 3-4 seasons out of that.
Now, am I a monster myself, or did other people feel this, where at the end of The Mist, and I don't want to spoil things, but where like clearly things are getting like a handle, and never mind the twist or whatever, but like that suddenly like The Mist is being like handled in a way, and you're like, oh, okay, this is like a smaller incident than a global thing. Like it's actually, did anybody feel let down? Like I had a moment of just like, oh, it's not global. Like,
yes.
It's not.
Well,
it's not,
no, I
well,
felt the same way.
Well,
okay. Really
like,
did.
Oh no, they got
well,
a handle on
the
it.
The funny thing is, as a in that particular aspect, it was viewed as being small, but in the King universe, it was just another like thin between
thin
universes.
Yeah,
with in the Dark Tower series, they call it thinnies, and where you could, if you were able, if you were like strong enough and of sound mind and you know and like body, you could cross through.
Oh, okay.
Thinnies. So it's kind of like in the vein of the movie. Yeah, that's it. In the King world, you're like, nah, there's tons more. There's a whole lot more fucked up shit going on there.
Thank you, Professor Lowdown.
I read too much Stephen.
I just want the Mist sequel where it's literally just tracking down that like 40-story tall monster with the tentacle
that
face.
Motherfucker! No, dude, can we have like
it's
a
just, it's,
what would the Mist sequel be called?
It's like a doc. It's a, like a mockumentary
drizzle.
Where it's just like fucking like the Great White Hunter from Africa showing up to try to take down this gigantic, like, weird. Ultimate...
I'm so here for that.
Yeah,
put it on sci-fi.
Can we get like Mist and Cloverfield like crossover.
That's what I'm saying. That's
absolutely.
What I'm saying.
That would be that'd be rad as fuck.
The Moist. I mean, yes. Sorry.
The Moist.
The moist.
well, that's the name of the episode.
Oh my God!
For sure.
Oh,
Speaking of, we are at the end of the part one of our two-part 31 Days of Halloween series of episodes. So check out the next week will be the next half dropping. So make sure enjoy this part. It will come out in time for you to be able to watch all this shit. And the second part will come out in time for you to be able to watch the second half. So, and we will have on our social media a picture and possibly downloads of the actual calendar with all the releases, so you can keep track of that without having to constantly reference the episode. So share that.
Yeah.
Share that on your social medias if you're doing, and also please hashtag GUI Halloween if you are doing the day-to-days. If you're watching any of the movies on our calendar because of inspiration from this episode, hashtag GUI Halloween at us on our social media. And let us know that you're having a good time watching these movies. Like, we want to see it. We want to hear about it. So
fuck yeah, we do.
So stick around next week, second half. I'm Mike the Hobbit.
I'm Lowdown.
Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit. Watch the goddamn movies.
GUIPodcast.com.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIPodcast.com.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there's another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guides at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Tondi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch Up.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash on your left. And we are the Geek Fathers. That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.